You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to another live broadcast of TPC this frigid Saturday evening, January the 29th. I have been, if I do and if I could say so myself, very pleased with the way in which we have kicked off 2022, our broadcasting year. I think I wanted to come into this, as I mentioned over the course of the last couple of weeks, very sharp with a variety of topics and a great, if I can use the word, diversity of guests, and we've had that. So how do you cap off such a fast-paced month of broadcasting? And the only way that I thought I could do it and do it justice would be by taking the show on the road once again to the great state of South Carolina, where we are tonight. And the crowd that is here assembled is going to give us a very big rebel yell. Now we're going to count it down on three to give you a chance to really work it up. So, ladies and gentlemen, live broadcast from private property, a gathering of fans in South Carolina, and they're going to let their voices be heard throughout Dixie and around the world right now. 3, 2, 1, give them a rebel yell! So that's what we're going to be doing. This is our third time at this particular property, and the previous shows have always been such an encouraging delight, and tonight's installment will be certainly no different. We have a lot of good things coming up over the course of the next couple of months here on TPC. Our Valentine's Day show's coming up. That's our Ladies' Night presentation in a couple of weeks. Then, of course, we'll have our March Around the World series, and then our Confederate History Month series in April, which we have been doing every year we've been on the air. And if you like that, we'll give you a little taste of it this evening, because what we're going to be doing is talking with folks in this local community about what they're doing to build this parallel society that will instill this sense of high trust, a high trust community that our people need in order to survive and thrive with what we're faced with in this day and age. So we'll be talking about that, of course, but we'll also be talking. I learned so much today. I had a great tour guide today. Hunter was my tour guide, and we went to a Confederate museum, and I learned a lot today. And if I learned it, I hope you'll learn something as well. So we're going to be sharing with you some anecdotes of Confederate history, some very, very cool stories throughout the night. But first, we're going to go to the Lord of the Manor. This is the gentleman whose property we're on this evening. He had a vision. Our first time here was in November of 2020. That was only, not much more than a year ago, certainly less than a year and a half ago. We were back last July. And those two shows are two of the most memorable that I've had in 18 years of broadcasting. We're back again tonight, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. So, sir, thank you again for the opportunity and for what you're doing here. I wish words existed to properly convey to the audience exactly what's happening here and how it can happen for them as well. Thank you again.
You're very welcome, James. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, close, close, close.
You're very welcome, James. Perfect. It's always a pleasure to have you here. You've been a long-time stalwart of our people, and we're hoping to establish something in real life, something tangible for our people. And that's what we've been aiming for and slowly but surely achieving.
Let's talk about what you're doing. Again, you bought some property, and you have developed this clubhouse, and the people that it's attracting are some of the finest I've met in my life, and I say that, and it's true. I have asked you this previously, but if anything is worth repeating, it is this, because this is a lesson that I think if what one man can do, another can do. I do believe that. Obviously, some men have more talents, more gifts and abilities than others, but this is something that could be replicated. What exactly, in your own words, have you done here? What are you doing, and how is it bettering the people that are a part of this community?
I've surrounded myself with like-minded people with like-minded goals, and we've worked together to create the beginnings of a parallel society. The world's going to hell, but we're not. We're coming together, helping each other in a true community experience. We have the trust because we start from a basic foundation, and from there, we build. The group of people, we are the builders. You're either a builder, destroyer, or a parasite. We are the builders, and we build.
You come together, you fellowship, you enrich one another's lives, you help one another, and I mean in practical and intangible ways. You help people with home repairs. You have a community now that you pass out the numbers and the addresses of the other like-minded people, and they go to each other's homes and they help each other. There's been assistance in people finding vocations and careers and jobs, and obviously coming together and letting people know that they're not alone. And that is just so powerful and so potent, because confidence is contagious. And I have seen a lot of that. Now, what we're doing tonight is a little bit more of a private gathering, sort of a VIP event for this particular group, and I'm happy to be a part of it. But what I've seen on some of your public events where you open up your property to people in the community, I saw when you told me the first time you're going to have 500 people, I said, okay. And then it was every bit of that. We came again in July, just 6 or 7 months later, there were over 1,000 people just in a local community. And they're seeing Confederate flags, and they're seeing bands play Dixie, and they're seeing all of this. And Jason Kuna, who was here with me last time, he said it perfectly. He said, when the river is allowed to flow freely, it always leads back to this. And if our people are unencumbered and they're able to, with confidence, be amongst like-minded people, they do come back. And I think that's so key, because to remember, because we live in this age of censorship and oppression where people are rousted out of their jobs and they lose their livelihoods for having common sense and healthy and natural beliefs. And in spite of all of that, all it took was just the little spark that you've created here. I say little, not to diminish it. I mean, it's been a huge thing, but just one person putting forth an effort, and they come back, and they come back very quickly.
Well, we believe in freedom of association here, James. We follow God's law, nature's law. They never change. Man's law changes from day to day, and volumes and volumes of laws. But we believe in freedom of association, and given that freedom, it's like a magnet. Like attracts like. And in that, we have some hard characters, but still sharp and still. We're here to better each other. As a conglomerate, we hope to lift everyone up to their highest plateau.
Very well said. How about this guy, ladies and gentlemen? If you appreciate him, give him a round of applause. And with any luck, we'll have him back on the program a little bit later tonight. We'll have him in and out. But we've got so many interesting people to talk to. We'll continue to play musical chairs tonight. Folks, you're in for a treat the entire 3 hours tonight. We're just getting started. Something very real is happening here. We're going to do the best we can to paint a verbal picture of it for you. Stay tuned.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher Certified, and it shed light on a century-old certification in industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to our live remote broadcast of TPC here in South Carolina. It is a beautiful night in South Carolina with such beautiful people, and we have now with us a true lion for our people, a lion in winter, as it is tonight, because it is a cold night. I of course know of your work with the Southern Legal Resource Center. I didn't know exactly what the title was, if it was president, if it was a chieftain or whatever. And so I looked it up, and of course it's Chief Trial Counsel. But the first thing I read is Kirk Lyons is a white supremacist lawyer.
So, that's the first thing. That's going to be engraved on my headstone, I think, someday.
Well, we do have with us the great Kirk Lyons of the Southern Legal Resource Center. Kirk, you've been a regular with us. You at least, at the very least, make annual appearances. You've been a mainstay in our Confederate History Month series programming year after year, and at other times as well. You've spoken at some of our events. Very quickly, we have a lot to talk to you about tonight, and a short time to get to it. It just so happened you were in the area tonight. This
right.
was just something you were driving back through, and we'll get to why you're in the area. But very first, maybe 60 seconds, remind the folks of the work you do at the SLRC.
The Southern Legal Resource Center is a nonprofit public law firm that advocates on behalf of the Southern Confederate American community, and through them, all Americans, and we are a liberty corporation. We believe in liberty and advocacy of liberty, and we feel that it is most threatened by our community. But now, in the last year or two, we've got 80 million potential allies that should be getting it now as to how dire it is in what's left of our republic.
That has been a recurring theme. We talked about it as recently as last week, how the trends seem to be shifting in our favor with regards to an exponentially growing population that is becoming more open to our ideas by the day. So your work at SLRC has, of course, been essential for so many years. But tell us very quickly why you're in this area tonight. You're not too far from home, but far enough where it would be a hike, but you happen to just be passing through while we were doing the show. Now, that's God's hand if I've ever seen it.
Well, it is a nice little circuit. Every year, there's a little Anglican chapel in Maysville, South Carolina, which is a blip on the road. I mean, if you blink, you will literally miss it. The only thing it's famous for besides cotton is that is the home of Mary McLeod Bethune, who was a personal friend of Eleanor Roosevelt, so probably a Marxist just like her. And they've actually put up a statue to Dr. Bethune. But this little Anglican chapel has a event called the Feast of St. Charles the Martyr. And that's a reference to King Charles I of England, who was beheaded on this day in 1649. And he is a martyr to the cause of the liberty of his subjects, because when he was executed, Oliver Cromwell, the woke man of his day, imposed a dictatorship for 9 years until the English got sick of him after he died and threw his son out of power and asked King Charles's son, Charles II, to come back on the throne. And so he is a martyr to the Church of England. And this little chapel is very, very, very traditional. It's what the Episcopal Church used to be when I was a member many years ago before they decided all become woke and drive off 2 million Christians out of their denomination because they didn't care whether we came to church with them or not, because they wanted to have their women priests, their radical liturgy, and all the nonsense that goes with most mainstream denominations today. But this little church is a little niche in time, and they asked me to come and portray King Charles II.
And you were in costume.
I was completely outfitted, yeah.
I thought you were going to show up in that tonight.
I might have if I'd have been a little later.
That's why I lost track of you when you walked in. I was waiting for the king to walk in.
Yeah, it's not comfortable, and I had to be pulled out of the boots because I had the whole outfit made 20 years ago when I played King Charles II for a reenactment of the English Civil War up in Stanton, Virginia at the Museum of Frontier American Culture. And I had all this stuff made, and it's 20 years older, and I'm 20 years older myself. And I brought my son, William Wallace Lyons, great name, to help me get in and out of the outfit, and especially get the boots on and off, which was important. So we had a great meeting. There was a lot of really good people there. There was a South Carolina congressional candidate there that came up from Charleston. It's always a gathering of eagles there.
And that's the thing that people wouldn't know if they don't tune into programs like this. There are things happening that are certainly suppressed by our overlords in the media that you wouldn't know. But there are positive things happening that people can invest hope in. And this was one of them, and you said, as you mentioned, a gathering of equals, and there's some people there that can actually make a difference, not just
Absolutely.
Good people. I mean, all people are good people, and all people can do something, but you've got people there that can
And, you know, it's funny because they say that traditional religion, that old-time religion, as Grandpa Jones used to call it, doesn't sing to young people, that they want the get with it, the folk rock, and all of the nonsense and the wokedom and the social justice. And I have to tell you, at least a third of the people in that chapel today, and there was probably 60 or 70 people there, a third of them were under 20, 20 or under.
That's fantastic. And that's not at all contrary to what we've seen here on the last two events that were open to the public. Not only young people, but young, intelligent people, and also
right.
very attractive, so that's what we want. Now, you had an announcement you were going to make, an announcement, and I don't even know what this is, so I'll learn with the rest of the audience. You had emailed me last week, and I said, well, hey, is there any chance you can come and make the announcement?
And here I am.
And here we are. So what's the announcement?
Well, there's something that's going on in the country that probably people saw in the news. You might have heard that a couple of weeks ago, Stuart Rhodes, who's the founder of Oath Keepers, was arrested and indicted for seditious conspiracy for the joke that was January 6th, which our communist friends are calling an insurrection. And all I have to say to them is, if y'all keep pushing this, you're going to find out what a real insurrection is, bozos. But they have indicted six men, members of Oath Keepers, for seditious conspiracy for attempting to overthrow the government of the United States, and they're facing, these men are facing 20 years in prison. Now, Oath Keepers, what is Oath Keepers? They're these guys that take this oath either to the military or law enforcement that they will preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, repeat after me, foreign and domestic. And what's really important about them is just because they retired and or no longer in law enforcement in the military, they believe that that oath is still binding on them. They took that oath. They did not resign it. And so
the oath doesn't expire when their commission ends.
And that's what Oath Keepers is. They're about as benign a so-called domestic terror group as you can think of. They're old guys that wore badges and serve their country. And they are not the problem. But our wonderful Mr. Potato Head regime thinks they are, and they want to start. Well, the reason this is important to me and why I want everybody to know about this, this is where I came in 35 years ago under the seditious conspiracy trial in Fort Smith, Arkansas in the 1980s. So I've seen this roadshow before. I've seen what these bastards are going to do with it. They're going to get they're going to string along their little BS conspiracy, get some rats to turn on their buddies or informants or FBI agents to say there was a conspiracy to do this, to overthrow the government. They're going to get these guys indicted, convicted for 20 years, and this time they're smart enough to use a more compliant venue for the trial, D.C., instead of Fort Smith, Arkansas, where they got a good old boy jury that acquitted every one of the 15 defendants that were being on trial.
Kirk Lyons is roaring tonight, and he has a lot of energy, and he's adding energy to the broadcast tonight, as is everyone here. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Kirk. Listen, if you're tuned in now, please, please, please listen to the entire show tonight. Let me tell you what's coming up. I've got a big announcement to make. You're going to learn things about the South that I guarantee you you've never heard before. We'll bring Hunter on in the second hour. We got Johnny Reb, a living, walking, tall tale in the third hour. All coming up.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. East Coast is battling blizzard conditions, with many places now reporting whiteout conditions. Officials are telling people to not travel if they don't have to. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
High winds, heavy snow, blizzard conditions, all the elements of a classic nor'easter, and that's what we're dealing with right now.
In New Rochelle, New York, a snowplow driver is reinforcing just how dangerous it is on the roads.
I expected worse. Just keep scraping until it stops and we can salt it up.
Over 10 million people in the Northeast are under blizzard warnings. The National Weather Service is warning that the nor'easter could bring near-record snowfall and blizzard conditions to most of New England. Power outages are widespread, and thousands of flights have been canceled due to the storm. This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day. Hey, friends, it's John and Chelsea Jubilee, Energized Health, and we got some good news. The good news is you still can succeed, even though you already failed. I know you did. You made a New Year's resolution this year, like millions of other Americans, and guess what? You already jumped off that wagon. Hey, don't feel bad, but make a change. Make a change. Let's change that resolution to a revolution, and let's get on it with Energized Health. You can still lose that fat, reverse that high blood pressure, high cholesterol, medical conditions that you have. You just have to take a simple action step. Hey, we're going to be your master coaches. Log on today to EnergizedHealth.com, EnergizedHealth.com, John and Chelsea Jubilee. That's right. We're going to be your personal coach. Log on today, EnergizedHealth.com.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady is retiring from the NFL. ESPN broke the news, citing multiple anonymous sources. Brady leaves the league with an unprecedented 7 Super Bowl rings, widely considered the greatest quarterback in NFL history. Brady leaves the sport with more yards passing and touchdown throws than any quarterback in NFL history. Brady's legacy will be marked by his longevity and big game performances. He's the only player to be the Super Bowl MVP 5 times and has been named the league's top regular season player 3 times. This announcement comes just days after Brady completed his second campaign with the Buccaneers as the defending Super Bowl champions fell to the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC semifinals. Brady rallied the Bucs from a 27-3 deficit to tie it late before Matt Gay's field goal at the gun won it for Los Angeles. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to TPC as we broadcast live tonight from South Carolina. Having a great night tonight. I had a good night last night, too. But I want to read very quickly for you something that another longtime supporter recently sent in. And they write this. This is a listener from Sri Lanka, and a donor. James, I am a non-white race realist and have been listening to TPC for 15 years now. I listen to TPC at work, and it helps me get through the grueling 8 hours. Keep up the great work, and I wish you, your family, and the show all the very best for a bright future. And I am so thankful to the extent at which this program has grown over the now nearly 2 decades and how we have permeated, not just throughout the South, but indeed across the country and around the world. And developed a listening audience and a loyal and faithful base of supporters. And we love them all. But it is so special to me, of course, to be able to be at a place like this with those closest to us, and that is our Southern brothers and sisters. And again, as I was saying just before the break, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to go anywhere tonight. We've got a lot of surprises for you. You will learn things about the South that you've never heard before. We've got Johnny Reb himself in the third hour. This guy steals the show every time. We've got refugees from the Mexican border, down in the Texas-Mexican border. They fleed, and they've got a very interesting story. They have fled. And and we'll hear their story. I've got an announcement to make. We'll tell you the latest going on here on this end and so much more tonight. But first, Kirk Lyons, a man who has been fighting this fight his entire life, fighting it in the courtroom. We fight it in the court of public opinion. He fights it in the actual courtroom. He's got a lot of stuff he's working on. And continuing on now with what you were saying before the break, Kirk, about, of course, that which has befallen Stuart Rhodes and Oath Keepers. And this is, you know, this was a very interesting insurrection. It's the only one during which the insurrectionists were unarmed. I saw grannies with fanny packs,
right,
and all of that stuff. But it was the nearest D.C. ever came to being toppled, if you listen to the narrative.
Well, yeah, Pearl Harbor or 9-1-1, according to the concubine that pretends to be the vice president of the United States. And by the way, I've been telling people publicly, if I hear anybody with sense referring to Mr. Potato Head as something other than Mr. Potato Head or Mr. Dementia, if they use the P word in my presence, I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs like a little girl. He is not the P word. He's not the president. He's a puppet usurper.
Well, he is a P word.
He is a P word, yeah, but it's not president. He's the resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And but anyway, I came in 1986 when Louis Ray Beam walked into my in my apartment and said that he thought that there was going to be an indictment to put away the right wing, essentially, under Edwin Meese when Reagan was president, his second term. And he said, I don't want you to defend me. I have an attorney, but I want you to get me a bond because they'll probably arrest me, throw me in a dungeon, and I just need to get out of jail so I can fight this bogus charge. But the rumor is there's going to be indictments to basically put away a complete part of the political spectrum. And sure enough, they indicted 15 men for seditious conspiracy. This is a law we all know from American history about John Adams and the Federalists passing the Alien and Sedition Laws in 1798. And they used it to put away their political opposition. They were arresting the supporters of Thomas Jefferson. And so when I was in history in high school, that was said to be bad. Okay, the alien statistic was bad. And then it went away. Oh, no, it didn't. In federal law. And this is probably the fourth time in a major sense that the feds have used seditious conspiracy. Now, fortunately, they have never succeeded in a seditious conspiracy prosecution. They've never succeeded. They've either didn't go to trial, didn't finish the trial, or as in Fort Smith, Arkansas, with my client, Louis Ray Beam, who at the time was number one of the 10 most wanted for the FBI until he was captured in a spectacular shootout in Mexico and brought back illegally to the United States and put in the dungeon in Fort Smith. And I had to make a decision either to represent the man and lose my job or just shut up, go back to work, keep my mouth shut, keep my head down, and just let the poor man, you know, be tortured in prison. And his wife, in the shootout, had killed a Mexican, or shot and seriously wounded a Mexican federale, and all she was a 19-year-old Sunday school teacher. But she thought the house was being robbed, and her husband had taught her how to shoot, and he came up there, and apparently his job was to speak English to her, which he didn't. And she thought he was a burglar, and she blew half his liver out. She's a good shot. And then that's when all heck broke loose. They had infantry soldiers down there, Yaqui Indians in the Mexican army, who were hosing the house down that they were in with fully automatic rifle fire. It was complete pandemonium. There was two FBI agents and a department drug enforcement agency from the United States there to supervise this peaceful capture. Anyway, when the guy's wife realized they were feds, she surrendered, and that's when the bad things happened. A lot of bad things happened. Anyway, God intervened and took her out of prison, and I lost my job, but I represented Louis Beam. We went to trials, a 2.5-month trial, and the jury said, not guilty. This is a BS case. Like what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now is a BS case.
Well, lightning strike twice, though. It's hard to imagine in the current year.
They're just smarter now. They're doing it in D.C. where they can get a more compliant jury and get convictions for once in their history of this crime, of the seditious conspiracy. The crime is that these men are being indicted and persecuted at all.
Well, Kirk, I want to thank you again for being with us tonight, for taking the time to stop in on your way home and join us on the broadcast. Again, give us the information about the Southern Legal Resource Center, how people can find out more about your work and, of course, support it.
Well, the most important thing is we want to help these guys. We do monuments, and we are doing monuments, but we want to help these guys. We want to reach out to the attorneys and say, this has been done before. Let us help you. Let us consult with you. Let us find you witnesses so you can free these men. And the Southern Legal Resource Center is nonprofit, tax deductible. We need and thrive on your contributions. Without that, we don't survive. Your donation, our survival. And that address is P.O. Box 1235 Black Mountain, North Carolina 28711. That's P.O. Box 1235 Black Mountain, North Carolina 28711. You can also, we're on Facebook for the time being.
How?
I know how to censor myself. I don't give it all away. I know how to censor myself.
What about a website?
A website is www.slrc-csa.org.
And let's say it again. slrc-csa.org.
O-R-G. And we need and crave your support. And
you got something coming up big, right? I mean, what other cases are you working on? You got a Supreme Court.
Well, we've got a Supreme Court case in Alpharetta, Georgia. The SCV actually ponied up some money to go to the Supreme Court of the United States. And our big thing is government speech is tyranny. Repeat after me. Government speech is tyranny. If you didn't get it, government speech is tyranny. We've got to fight this damn government speech business. Government doesn't get speech. Show me in the Constitution where it says government speech anywhere. They don't get it. We do. We the people get it. And the SCV was marching in a veterans parade founded by Confederate veterans, founded by Confederate veterans and told that they couldn't march in the parade that their ancestors founded if they brought their Confederate flags. Now, back in the day, if it was a city-sponsored parade, we never lost one of those cases. Never, never, never. Now they say, government speech, you can't march. So we're going to the Supreme Court of the United States and see if those bozos will take the case and get rid of this pernicious, evil government speech doctrine. And I say again, repeat after me, government speech is tyranny.
Kirk Lyons, everybody, give him a big round of applause if
you
can. Thank you, Kirk, and thank you for all the years of work and for the years left in your in service to this cause.
And I can't wait to come talk to you again.
You got decades left in you, brother, yes, and I know we'll talk to you in April during our Confederate History Month series. So, Kirk Lyons, you know, truly a hero for our people and his work, and we need people willing to take the fight to the enemy, willing to take the fight into court, and we fight this battle on multiple fronts, of course. I mentioned court of public opinion, in the media, in the courts, on the streets, wherever it may be. We need champions to take us there. And, final word to you,
and we've got to, the public opinion part has got to work with the legal part. We ought to all work together, and we got to make these, we got to send the peasants to the castle door with the pitchforks and the torches while the lawyers are in the courthouse. Those guys need to be afraid of us.
Amen. All right, everybody, we'll be back with so much more tonight. Listen, we're just getting started. Just getting started. So many surprises in store. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. So I know I'm running the risk of sounding repetitious now, but it's only because I care so much about you. And you've got to listen to all 3 hours tonight. Now, I know you normally always do anyway, right? But tonight, especially so, there's not 1 hour where we're doing cleanup or 1 hour where we've got our featured guest. I mean, each and every segment tonight is going to be as important and as interesting, I think, as any other you might hear throughout the broadcast. So tonight, especially, stay tuned to each hour. Can't wait to just unfurl the full vision this evening of what we've got in store, and it's been laid out quite meticulously. So a lot of thought has gone into what we're going to be presenting tonight and who the presenters will be and what the message will be. But I want to thank Kirk Lyons again for being with us. He we were talking about Texas Chili. He's going to be having a big get-together in a couple of weeks. And I said, you know, Kirk, come to think of it, I've never met a Texan I didn't like. And he said, well, South Carolinians and Tennesseans make good Texans, too. So that, but we have some more Texans, that a couple of Texans at least, that I just met for the first time tonight with a very interesting story. We're calling them our refugees. They lived right there on the border. Tell us how close, sir.
4 miles from the Mexican border.
Now, 4 miles from the Mexican border. Where was this at exactly?
It's Mercedes, Texas.
Mercedes, Texas, 4 miles from the Mexican border. And I said to your lovely wife, I can imagine how bad that was. And she said, no, you can't. Tell us about it.
Absolutely not. I mean, and this didn't start until our new Mr. Potato Head started the country here. It has been a mess. Prior to Biden taking office, 40,000 interventions a year, 2 million last year. It is impossible to live there. We had to leave.
So let's just say, now here I am in my early 40s. I have a wife and 3 young children. I have a house where you had a house. How safe are they?
They're not safe at all.
What's happening?
There are so many people coming over, and they're not just from Mexico. They're coming over from Honduras. They're coming over from Guatemala, Somalia. They had Chinese last week. They actually captured down there. It is.
They walked from China.
Yeah, they walked from China. That's for
and
sure.
Haiti. You know, they swam from Haiti recently. I read about
and
that.
Venezuela. And these are not nice people. These are people in camo. They're
all right. If you don't mind the interruption. This is the narrative. They just want to have a better way of life. They just want to become Americans and get on this magic dirt, and they just want to come and provide for their families. Probably some do, but what are you seeing in real life?
In real life, these are 20 to 30 age combat age people. And these people aren't interested in taking care of our country. They're interested, I think, in changing our country.
And, I can tell you they are.
And it's
and
dangerous.
Unfortunately, the powers that be in this country are interested in aiding and abetting them, and that's the thing. That's the thing that's so damnable about it all. So for reasons I don't think we have to elaborate on any further, you left that part of the country. You ended up here. How, in this part of South Carolina, of all places you could have gone?
Well, we did kind of a search around the country, and I have to mention that, you know, they're shipping these people all over the country. And we saw the buses in Kansas, Nebraska, where they're offloading these people coming around. And they're offloading them here. They're offloading them, well, and now it's in the news. You're starting to see some of it where they're sending people around the country. But this has been going on for well over a year. This is not something new.
Well, I'm sure for decades, in fact, but I'm sure it's accelerated over the course of the last year. I mean, it's we had Peter Brimelow on earlier this month. He wrote the book Alien Nation in 1995. So this isn't new, but the extent to which it's become so untenable, I'm sure has, and obvious, yes, thank you, has become more readily apparent. But so how did you decide that this was the part of the country you wanted to be in? And how did you become a part of this particular community here?
Sherry, I'm going to let you take that.
So here comes his wife, ladies and gentlemen, our Texas border refugees. What do you like about what you found here in this part of South Carolina and how you actually came to know these people here who are hosting me tonight?
You know, we did a little bit of research because we needed to get out of Texas. So we researched conservative governors, low tax rates. Am I on the wrong spot there?
No, that's perfect.
Okay. So conservative governors, low tax rates, gun rights, everything that's important to us because we are constitutionalists above all else. And came through South Carolina, and it just fit the bill. And needing to get out of Texas. You know, as a woman in Texas, I am an Irish redhead, so I don't put up with an awful lot to start with. So, but
you're here.
But I never went anywhere unarmed. You don't go to Macy's. You don't go to Walmart. You don't go anywhere in South Texas unarmed. So we cannot get in our bus terminals. We can't get in our airports. We can't even get in our hotels down there. Because they're putting these people up. They're coming in to the country. They don't care if they're sick. They don't care if they're miscreants. They don't care. They're shipping them out to all the red states to change the vote. We saw them all over the Midwest, all over the East Coast, all summer. We knew what we were looking at because we saw these unmarked buses in Texas. So this is not a new thing. And it changed instantly when the regime in D.C. changed. So, you know, I don't want to live that way. It's too dangerous to live down there. We had to sell out. We had to sell our property and leave because it's a war zone, truly.
Well, I mean, it's not worth dying for, I guess. I mean, but perhaps it would be if you had a government and people that were supporting and fighting back. But,
right.
You know, you don't want to become a martyr.
No, you don't. And, you know, what you're not seeing on TV is the sheriff's departments down there are deputizing citizens along the border. We have a militia right now on the Texas border. So regular, everyday people are now sheriff's deputies on the border.
That goes back to something that we covered in the very early months of this program, not even the early years. I remember the Minuteman Project back
right,
in the mid-2000s.
Right.
Joe McCutcheon, the great Joe McCutcheon. And we had Chris Simcox and Jim Gilchrist and all of the principals there. So this is something that has certainly been an ongoing festering boil.
Yep.
For the people of South Texas and border area Texas. But I got to ask you, is this your first time on radio? You're fantastic.
You know what? I'm one angry citizen.
We need righteous indignation. Righteous indignation.
That border belongs to all of us. That border doesn't belong to Biden. It belongs to me, and it belongs to you. It belongs to everybody in this country. That border is yours.
Well, Texas is a Confederate state. I mean, Texas and their independence streak is, of course, awe-inspiring, and that is American soil as much as any part of the interior is, and it should be defended as such.
Yes.
So you came here. You settled here. You met these people, and you became part of it. What is it about these people and this community found endearing?
They were just the most wonderful people and very welcoming. And
how long have you been on the ground here in terms of resident of South Carolina?
A couple months.
Only a couple of months?
Yeah.
Well, how does it compare to South Texas?
You know, South Texas is full of wonderful people, but I just like the attitude of how people stand up here.
Ah. So more than the Texans? In your
you know,
experience.
The South Texas border isn't Texas. It's Mexico.
Well, how far into the interior of the United States do you have to get before you reach America?
You know, that remains to
San Antonio.
Remains to be seen. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, so what's next for you, our friendly Texan? You know, this is something that Sam Dixon says so often, though. You can drive from Arlington, Virginia to Corpus Christi, Texas, and you still are part of the same community. So you may have left Texas, but you're still in the same nation, and you're still
right
in the South. So continuing to be a part of what's building and what's growing here in this part of the country?
You know, I am part of this parallel society that we're seeing now.
And that's a word that I want to repeat. It's been said before, and it needs to be repeated. This is a society within a society.
This is a
group of people that are legally and law-abidingly supporting one another and helping one another and encouraging one another in every way that you could possibly imagine within the confines of this establishment that has been forced and thrust upon us.
Well, you know, we plan on supporting it and being part of it. It's important.
Well, stick around. I mean, you're certainly with the right people. And a final word, anything that hasn't been said, the final minute goes to you.
God bless America.
And God save the South. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? All right. Well, listen, it's a pleasure and an honor to meet you both tonight.
Much.
And I hope that this won't be our last encounter. And I appreciate you coming out for the program and for the live remote broadcast, of which we are just now 1 hour of 3 down. And so much more to come this evening. I can't wait to tell you what I saw in Johnny Reb's workshop today. That's coming up in the 3rd hour. And we're going to tell you some things about the South you've never heard before. I guarantee it. You think you know the South. You think you know all the stories. We're going to tell you some stuff you don't know when we come back. So stay tuned for that and some more news from TPCs. And we've been banned somewhere else now. There's always something going on. I'll tell you about it next. Stay tuned. 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 I'll tell you about it next. Stay tuned.